I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. Since 2009, HRN podcasts have been exploring the wide world of food, beverage, and agriculture. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is presented by Chemists in the Kitchen by LabX, a new video series spotlighting the power of chemistry and how science and food can bring people together. It's a love letter to science, cooking, and individuality. In the first episode, three chemists swap cookie recipes, and once they finish baking, they ship them back to the recipe's owner. Along the way, they share insightful information on how chemistry can help you become a better baker. Watch the first episode and subscribe to the series for free at youtube.com/labxnas.
Hi everyone, welcome to our last session of Speaker's Corner. Thank you so much. I know it's when you're busy tasting and you know you've got a lot of wineries to go through, it's a big deal to take, you know, 45, 60 minutes out of the schedule. So I really appreciate it, and then we'll try and be as precise but as comprehensive as possible. So first of all, you know, I want to thank you, Heritage Radio Network, for being our partner and for recording this session. So any questions you will be asking, we'll go on record. So be careful of what you say. So it's going to go on record, and then we will be publishing the segment on the Heritage Radio Network website and audience, and also on Raw Wine. So we'll let you know when everything is available. Also, thank you so much for the region of Castilla y León for supporting this seminar, and also helping the growers present all the wines at the fair. So we're very grateful. It's really nice to be able to offer this kind of diversity. So thank you very much. Okay, so we're going to taste six wines. We have, you know, everybody's here, so I'm going to try and keep it really concise. I think the idea for me is, and there is variation from the, you know, the placemats that were created due to, you know, some wines not arriving, and maybe a swap because some of the wines made more sense. Also, I really was trying to get three wines, three whites, three reds, and some skin. But we're ending up trying two white skin contact and then four reds. Yeah, we're missing number three as well. Thank you. So, you know, Castilla y León is a huge region. I think it's really useful to actually have the map, so you've got little maps in front of you. So whenever a grower will introduce themselves, then they can reference to it, so you know exactly where we are. So it's a huge region. You know, it's actually the largest political region in Spain, which it's also one of the less densely populated probably region. I think we're looking at about 30 people per square kilometer or something, so it's very sparse in some parts. But also it's home to a wealth of grape varieties, I think, as we'll experience here, a wealth of terroir, from sandy to granite to mountainous to flatter areas to the Gredos. So we're looking at it's very hard, I think, to tell the story within six wines, of course. But the idea was just to pick six very different wines and six different terroirs to just focus on different stories. So without much ado, so we're going to start with wine number two. In fact, to be honest, have we poured wine number three? Everybody's got wine number three. Wine number three is coming. Okay, so maybe we can start with wine number three, because it's at the very last minute we decided that we were gonna change the wine and we were gonna have a red, but in the end I think wine number three, having a fresher wine I think is good. So I'm going to pass you over to Thierry or Chu Jensen, who's locally known as the Crazy Dane in his home area. So perhaps you could tell us a bit more about the project, why you ended up in this corner of the world, and maybe show us where you're located, and also obviously about the wine, but also the, you know, what the region is like where you are. Thank you. So just and make sure we speak in the microphone to make sure that everybody can hear us, and also we can record properly.
Hello. Yes, my name is Isabel. It's Chus. That's my Spanish name. It's because I'm Danish, and I moved down to Spain in 2016, and I have a very Danish name, which is Chu, and nobody can pronounce it. So quite easily, my new name was Chus, which is actually the nickname for Jesus. So in Spanish, you can be called Jesus. Anyhow, so I moved down in 16 to a little village it's called Famoselle, and we are very close. We are the last village before the border towards Portugal. So I don't know if you have your map, then you can see the Dio Ribes. It's one of the longest appellations in Spain. It's nearly 200 kilometers long, and it's following the Douro River from around just 15 kilometers west from Samoa, and then until the river goes into Portugal. And then later on, you have other regions in Portugal. You have the Douro. It's at the it's 1.5 hour drive from us. So it's and then it ends in Porto in Portugal. And of course, there are other regions. The most famous one, Ribeira do Douro. The Douro is, I think, it's nearly 1,000 kilometers long. So I live there. I have the view of the Douro River. We have some great canyons, and actually the canyons, that means Arribes. In Spanish, canyons is Arribes, so that's why the area is called Arribes. It's a natural park, it's very beautiful. I'm not working for the tourist office, so I won't say where you should stay and that kind, but it's a quite beautiful area. It used to be quite a huge wine area. In the 80s, there were more than 3,000 hectares, I don't know, the acres in that. There. I don't know how many acres 3,000 hectares is, but it's quite a lot. And then during the 80s and the 90s, because they didn't get paid for the grapes, the cooperative run quite bad. They didn't pay their growers, so therefore they have taken up, abandoned vineyards. They have sold the rights to plant to other regions in Spain. So therefore we only have around 200 hectares. But it means we have old vineyards, and I'm planting as well, because there simply aren't enough anymore, because the ones left, people are not willing to sell because it has been the family and their granddad. They remember they used to go there and pick up the grapes, blah, blah, blah. Anyhow, so that I have my little project. I have a little family. We live in a house. We have reformed an old distillery where we have our cellar. And then I'm the crazy Dane in the village because I do everything opposite the rest of the village. I'm the first one to harvest. The first year, people were shouting at me in the streets, "You don't know what you're doing. The grapes are green. You're crazy Dane." It's because I'm not I don't have any background in the wine world. I'm an economist. I used to work in Copenhagen for the shipping company Maersk. So I'm very new to the wine world. But I just realized after the first year where I didn't have any acidity in the wine, I need to do something else. I harvested the first year. I did like the rest of the village. Harvested the same dates, and the wine, it was decent. It was actually a very good vintage. The wine was decent, but I lacked a lot of acidity. So therefore I decided to do the harvest in my way, and I haven't changed since. So I'm still the first one to harvest. So here we have we have around 15 varieties in the DO Arribes. On the white we have the Doña Blanca, and we have another one called Puesta en Cruz. This is the one we're going to taste here. It's also in Portugal. It's called Rabigato. It's more famous there than in Spain, because in Spain it's only in our region. So Puesta en Cruz is because it has two bold shoulders and then has a long tail. So that's like a cross. So therefore, you're put on the cross. The grapes are put on a cross. That's actually what Puesta en Cruz means. And we harvested. We have maceration around 12 days, whole cluster maceration, only pump overs, no punch down. We take it off, we press it, put it into old French oak barrels, leave it there, and then we bottle it, and that's actually what's in it. It has a tiny amount of sulfites. It's at 18 in total, so it's quite low. So I think the smallest.
Yeah, great. Can you tell us, are you still the crazy Dane now, given that you're selling your wines everywhere else apart from the village? And are people still calling you that, or things are changing?
Yeah. Also because we have, for example, now we have another project, which they don't understand at all. It's because for every 6 bottles we sell, we plant a tree. So we have a little forest, and we are planting in a spiral. So you can start in the outskirts, and then you can just walk and walk and walk and go to the center. And they don't understand it. They say, okay, why are you planting? Because also I'm doing cover crops. I'm the only one in the village doing cover crops, because for them, everything which is green, which is not a leaf from a wine, that's bad in the vineyard. You don't allow to have anything else. So they're talking about me. They talk about me all the time, I know. But I'm quite used to it. And the thing is that they have actually changed in the village, that they are harvesting earlier than they used to do. But they will never admit that it has something to do with us.
That's great. Thank you. Do we have any questions on the wine? Maybe let's take a moment to taste it and see if we can. I don't know if you want to tell us just a little bit more about, you know, the vinification process and how it was made.
Yeah, we select in the vineyard. We select the grapes when they come into the cellar. And then we ferment in those plastic jars, 500 liters, those red ones. It's called, in Spanish, it's called a barreño. I don't know what the English name is. You know, Daniel, it's a jar.
It's Spanish. It's barreño, and that's it.
It's a barreño. But it's actually, it works quite well because you can, the roads, this is old vineyards and it's quite difficult to get to the vineyards. So actually what we do is that we select also for some of the reds, especially where the road is bad, we select in the vineyard, because just the road from the vineyard back to the winery, the grapes get crushed simply because the road is so bad. So we have already liquid in the jar or in the barreño when it comes into the winery. So we just put on a lid and then it starts fermenting. And so it's quite easy and it works very well because you don't have contact with the must and the air. And then, yeah, it's there. And of course I see that the maturation is going well, and it often does. And yeah, pump over, daily pump over in the beginning and less at the end of the maceration, and that's it. We blend the free-run juice and the pressed juice, we blend. And it does the malolactic during the maceration. It's very close to be dry when we press it. Of course, the grapes we press, they have a little bit of sugar. It's more sweet than the free-run juice.
Great.
Actually, because we do the whole cluster, I prefer the pressed juice compared to the free run. It's like the pressed has more complexity compared to the free run.
Thank you. Perfect. So we'll move on to the next one. And then obviously if you have any questions at any point, just, you know, raise your hands and we'll grab the microphone to make sure that we record everything. So we are going to taste wine number 2 next, from Daniel Ramos. So similarly, Daniel, you can give us a little bit of, you know, Daniel, you know, it's always confusing whether you're really from Australia or really from Spain. So also, you know, how you ended up in that region with your family, and yes, a little bit of context as to where we are, what the region looks like, the terroir, the soil, that would be great. Thank you. And also we're tasting in 2015, which is pretty remarkable.
Yes. Hello to everyone. Spanish or Aussie? Well, who knows? Here I am. I'm living in Spain. I've been there for 37 years, so I could say that I'm more Spanish than the Iberian Jamón, no? So, we're in an area that is that has become too cold, Sierra de Gredos, or I like to call it just Gredos. Over there in the map, you can see it as the DOP Cebreros, okay, because the DOP Cebreros is about 70 to 80% of what most of the people know as Gredos. DOP Cebreros was just established really soon in 2017 We were one of the last DOs to be made. And this was, well, because most of the mayors in the area didn't get together and didn't want to put the name of Cebreros to the area. In Castilla, we always have these little disputes between the different towns and stuff like that, no? Like the town nearby should be our friend, but no, they are horrible and they are the worst and we hate them. And at the end, most of the people get married between the two towns, you know? Well, this is Spain. It's beautiful. Chus knows what I'm talking about. We're both crazy anyway. Well, Cebreros was just established. We started three wineries with the opposite of nearly everyone. And nowadays, I have to say, we're 20 wineries trying to work together, trying to do, trying to show, on top of all, the special region that we have and the special grape varieties that we have over there. Mainly two grape varieties. Well, mainly. I have to say that you can only make two grape varieties with a DO, what is something really pretty and beautiful. Why? Because it makes it much more simple for all of you, no? If you're in DO, you can do Albillo Real in whites and Garnacha in reds, maybe with a little bit of Tempranillo that we've got in the area and Alicante Bouchet or Garnacha Tintorera, as we call it over there. This is our high mountain range area. It's beautiful. One of the most beautiful sights you can see in the world of wine, no? So I aim all of you to come along and to, well, discover and see what's going on. We're only an hour drive from Madrid. Well, of course, if the traffic is okay. If not, you know what could happen. High mountain range area, so we're talking about vineyards in high altitude from 700 metres up to 1,200 metres. Two main grape varieties, Albillo Real in whites and Garnacha in reds, and one of the DOs with one of the eldest vineyards in the world. So we're talking about the vineyard, the media of age in the vineyard is around 80 years old. So that makes it unique and really special. We've got two valleys. On the northern part, we've got the Alberche River Valley. That gives a fresher air to everything. And on the south, we've got the Tietar Valley that gives a bigger wine and sometimes even softer than in the North Valley. From there on, Albillo Real, that it's the wine that takes us. There's only a 10% planted of Albillo Real in the area. We have the same problem as in Arribas del Duero. So in 1980s, there were 12,000 hectares of vineyards. Nowadays, it's hard for us to reach the 500 hectares in the DO. Everything was ripped out, sent for plantings to Ribera del Duero, some other wine regions where they could plant, no? So we lost a lot of richness in the area with those garnachas. Why is Albillo Real so important? Well, because it was the first grape variety to be there in the area. Actually, it's believed that it didn't come from any other place, that the monks found it there. I don't know. It just grew out of some seeds or whatever, the Cistercian monks, when they came in the 13th century. And, it was quite renowned by the riders in the golden era of Spanish riders over there in Spain. Lope de Vega, Góngora, well, a lot of names that we could say. Well, they made a lot of odas or little poems about what became to be the vino precioso. Vino precioso is everything that is 100% albillo. I believe that they were quite drunk when they made all these others. Anyway, they were special guys anyway. Love to have fun. From there on, the grape variety, there are lots of albillos in Spain, but this one is called Albillo Real because it had, it was very appreciated by the royalty in Madrid, no? So that means that they made a kind of DO in the 16th century where there were rules, things like you can't add water to the wine, you can't, there were selections of different plots. So it was quite a special region, no? And this is this wine could be a little recreation of what they did, but with today's taste, no? So Vino Precioso is, Cerveros Vino Precioso is a single plot of a very old vineyard, close to 98 years old. And I know that it's 98 because, it was planted the same age as one of the aunts of who were the owners. And, I make it, like nowadays. So I get the whole bunch, I crush it, and when it starts to ferment, I press it and I put it into French oak barrels, where it ferments and ages during 1 year. This is 2015, and I always believed in the grapes and in this vineyard, so I kept it because 2015 was quite a difficult harvest, and I just kept it away, and last year started to show like this, and I said, all right, let's start to show it to the world. The rest, I just hope you enjoy it.
Thank you. Thank you. That was great. Again, if we have any questions, don't hesitate to just raise your hand. otherwise, I'm just conscious of time. You have a question? Come on. Could we, Martino, could you come and grab a...
I would like to know the production numbers. How many bottles of this wine do you produce every vintage?
This comes from a special plot, as I say. And the production this harvest was very low. I don't know if you remember the climate of 2015. It was a little bit like the climate of this year. It was very warm. But in 2015, something happened that it didn't happen this year. I would have wished that it would have happened this year. And that the plant couldn't resist the drought and so much heat. So in 2015, we had to harvest from 6 o'clock in the morning. It was still nighttime, but there was some light coming along. And we had to stop at 11 o'clock in the morning because it was already 36 degrees. So this is an early maturing grape variety. This is Albillo Real. So in the area, this was harvested the 1st of August. We were just fighting there with Jerez and some others to be the first ones, no? In this plot, there was very little produced, a little bit more than a barrel. So... that's what we were able to produce, and that's what makes it precious. That's why it's a precious wine. You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, so moving on to the third one, which is number one on your tasting sheet. Mario Provira, if you could take over and explain. So Mario can explain also why we're having a red wine when it was initially meant to be a white wine. You know, in short, it's called UPS. The problem, but tell us about yourself, the region where you are, and the wine. Thank you.
Hi, sorry, because in the first time, like say Isabel is a white from one Pastor Valdesacia at Don't Arise the Bottles, and well, just want to introduce you a red. It's an special red because it's my first parcel that I buy in 2013. So I'm originally from Barcelona, but I work in New Zealand, France, California. And after when come back to Spain, want to start my own project and I start in Bierzo in 2010, start to rent two vineyards. And in 2013, I start to buy vineyards. And my first vineyard to buy is Villarín, the wine that we taste today. And nowadays we have 4.5 hectares in property. It's very small property, familiar, and I do it all. And just if you know a little bit Bierzo, so the location is Bierzo, and inside of Bierzo, I'm in a mountain region. So all my vineyards is in Aquiliano Mountains. For this reason, my cellar is, the name is Aquilia. And it's a place with altitude, slate and quartz soil. All is in slopes. So that's what I want to do when I come back to Spain, because I'm looking for a straight wines, more acidity, less alcohol, less concentration. So I don't looking for a muscle wines or over-extraction wines. So I'm looking for inside of Bierzo more finesse, more floral aromas, and for the reason go up to the mountain at 700 meters of altitude. And that's all, a little bit. So today I introduce you Villarín. So it's only 1 hectare of 96 years old. Mencia 100% is the variety. It's all pruning in tree. All the grapes is managing in organic. Certification in organic, and after the elaboration is very simple. It's a classic vinification with less contact with the skins, just one pump power for day. I don't want to over extracting, so less concentration, picking early always. I'm very focused in, like in France, like Isabel know that the people in France is very focused on the picking in the best time. So when finish the horizon and start the maturation, just want to pick in this point. So it's a beautiful point because you don't have too much fruity usually, but you have a lot of things like floral or most terroir sensations, like the soil, like mineral. So I focus in this kind of wines. For the reason, when I start the maturation, I pick all the grapes in this time. So sometimes the seeds or the skins are a little bit green. That's okay, I know. But in the cellar, I don't touch too much the grapes. So I have some green parts, it's okay, but I prefer wines with 12 degrees of alcohol like this, with good acidity, fresh, and keeping bottle for a long time. So I pick early this grape, Villarín, 1 hectare, east orientation. It's very beautiful orientation in the mountain. The east orientation is the sun of the morning, so very slow maturation, and I can pick in the time that I want. Just picking in cases of 12 kilos, go to the cellar, and fermenting and aging in concrete tank. I love the concretes. When I work in Pomerol, in La Flor Petrus, I always using concretes. And I buy three concrete tanks of this, and one of these is for Villarín. So fermenting, press after 3 weeks, and come back to the concrete for a 6 months, more or less. Around 40% is in the barrel, in the old barrels. I don't want to new barrels or something like this, just for round a little bit the wine, they use in barrels. But I love the crushing part of the concrete. That's all, that's 21. It's a beautiful harvest for me, one of the best since these 10 years. Have a good balance, low alcohol, good acidity. 21 is a beautiful harvest, and I hope that you enjoy this wine.
Very quickly, are the vines ungrafted if they are that old? Is this, are we talking still ungrafted, or no, they're grafted on rootstocks? The vineyard?
The vineyard?
Yeah. Es en su propio...
This parcel is one of the first in this, but I have the old, like Valdesacia is 116 years old. It's not this.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any questions? Let's move on. So Abel Moreno, so I think everybody's got wine number four, correct? So we're going to move on to another red, Villalove 2021. And, you know, I was reminding, you know, Abel, that I've been tasting, you know, I remember receiving samples many, many, many moons ago, and how the styles, I mean, you know, and this is true, I think, everyone, I love the fact that the style is getting more and more precise, more and more chiseled, more and more, you know, fresh. And of course, we've got some fuller example. But I think, you know, the terroirs are so amazing that you are capable of producing extraordinary wines of minerality. So anyway, over to you.
Oh, hi. Hi, everyone. I'm Abel. I'm from Deo Tierra Albino. It's the orange in the map. You can check it. It's the orange region. And we are in a little paradise in Castilla y León. And we have a lot of kind of different varieties. In our village, people conserve some vineyards, old vineyards, but each year people are cutting the old vineyards because the market, the industrial market. So we are there trying to keep it the vineyards. And we are a family, my father, my mother, and me. And, well, I bring this wine, Villalove, that is a Tempranillo, old Tempranillo. And we try to recuperate the way of make wine from old people in Spain. It's a kind of wine, fresh wine. It's the Tempranillo pressed, and we put a little bit of portion of grapes in the wine, only 20% of grapes with the rake too, and stay like 2 months with the portion of the grapes, and then we take it off for other tank and we bottle. The idea is a very easy drink wine, because the wine is for drink. So I don't know how much can I explain for you. You have any question?
Can you tell us about the terroir, the soil?
The soil, we have in our village, we have like a very heterogeneous soil. In the same village, we have in some areas, we have like clay, but in the vineyard, we have clay. This vineyard is only clay. So it's the clay get a lot of tannic in the wine. So this way of make it, we get a low tannic wine. So this vineyard is clay. So we have other vineyards with calizo, ¿cómo se dice?
Limestone,
but always we have a clay in the under land.
Question. Hola. How strict is the denomination? ¿Qué tan estricta la denominación in terms of how much you can produce, how much you can do in the vineyard?
Hi. Okay. We actually don't certificate with the DO, because for us it's a bureaucratic things. So for us it's freedom. Don't get the DO. So I don't know how to answer the question, because we don't use it. But for example. And first, when we started with the wine, we was in the DO, but we started to make orange wine, and they don't want the wine. They don't certificate the wine. So we say goodbye to the DO.
Thank you. Okay, so moving on, And we can always have more questions afterwards. So Nacho Leon, let's talk about your wine, Cachican, which is a multi-blend of white, red. It's a fill blend. And also we can talk about the design, and because I know the project is evolving into something else. But I trust everybody's got all the wines now, so that's good. Over to you. Talk to us about the wine.
So, hello. Talking about my project, I'm living and working in the same place that Mario. The place is called Bierzo. It's northwest of Spain. I'm not gonna talk about the soils because he talked already, and the varieties. Anyway, we are in a tasting. We are focused probably in the variety, because of the biodiversity of the difference between wind around Castilla y León. Castilla y León is so big. We are in the northwest, and our influence is more far away from the Douros River. Our principal river is Sil. We can be considered Ribera del Sil, with three areas: Bierzo, Valdeorras, and Ribeira Sacra. Anyway, we have got our own personality. Bierzo is the topest place of the river, so our wines have more tannins, more personality, and probably more ageability. A part of this, our personality has got differences. Mario is working in the eastern area, isn't it? Ponferrada, Easter, more altitude and later ripeness. I'm working in the western one, in an area around Villafranca del Bierzo. It's a very famous and fabulous village because of its history and the Camino de Santiago. The same as Danny talked about the monks, probably the monks brought the culture of wine. They say in the past Romans made wine too, but monks around northern Spain are very important, probably from France. That's why the place is called Villafranca, village from France, from French people. Talking about me, I don't like to talk about me. I began the project, I'm an agronomist, engineer in agriculture, and I began the project like a joke, like a hobby in 2006. And I want to recover all vineyards, introducing organic farming. Why? The old people usually said that Mencia wines are not good for aging. The problem is that people who work the vineyard looks for quantity, no quality, isn't it? Too Spanish. And also, they use a lot of chemicals. Can we say poisons? So that's what I try to do. How can I do a great wine, an international and a personal wine from a region, leaving the plants communicate into the soil with their roots and their plants together? Not only vineyard, not only vines. We have got almonds, we have got cherry trees, we have got also some herbs, roses, lavender. Natural, spontaneous. I do not add any seeds. It takes time. In the beginning, the plants suffer a lot. It's hard. We miss a lot of grapes. And the grapes in some years are not really well balanced. But finally, we get the richness, we get the real soil, and we get the life in the soil that will help us to do a personal wine. That's what I get in 2013, in my first vintage of Cachican. Cachican, my main brands are Dementia as an aging wine, and Pijama for a more daily consumption. And Cachican, I began with, I think it was the first time I was in raw wine, maybe probably in London or the first year. And I began to introduce some techniques that for me are a little bit risky. Danny told me about the risk and the rock and the punky wines. It's something about this. The easier way to do wines is to follow a recipe. Received in English, received. I don't want to do this. Cachican is where the wine that I learned to do things more difficult, but more funny too. This is probably the last vintage with this label, because I can talk about this. I didn't pay the money for the brand, so a big company paid the money, and I don't have the brand. So doesn't matter. It's going to be untitled, but it's a 19 vintage. And another very important thing to do to talk about this wine is that it's a brand new wine in terms of it's a wine that comes to this first and it's like so cool and it's fresh and we mix and we do not sulfur, but it's a wine that is made and conceived looking to the past. So I think as our vineyards are so old too, and I think our grandparents, our ancestors, make the blending in the ground, in the plant. So that's what I do. I choose a small piece of a vineyard planted in 1905 and co-fermented in open barrels and a Barreño, and I can remember the name in English, Jam. And with steam and everything, all the things that you have heard about in this fern and this salon is a spontaneous fermentation, indigenous grape, low intervention. I introduce the wines in old barrels, like 10 years old, 5 months, rack into a tank, and it was bottled almost 2 years ago. Important for me, the blend, the natural blend that represent the history of my vineyard.
Thank you. And then maybe you can show us your new dessert. Oh, yeah. Oh, you didn't bring it?
Yeah. Sorry, I forgot. The label was made for a friend of mine from my own time that is called Ponferrada. He's an artist, a painter, and we made the label with and the image. And I was like, we can't use Cachican anymore. I decided, on pandemic time, I stopped making Cachican. And in 2021, I'm going to present this wine with a legal label, but without name. And
a beautiful painting as well. Yes. Yeah, painting, so all hand-painted.
It's a painting that I bought to a friend. It's an artist from La Coruña. And it's, the exhibitor is in a place, in a shop that is El Sagueral in Ponferrada. The painting, I think, is mine, but if you want to pay it. And he made a personal bottle that I brought here that I want to show you. The artist is Jamal Williams, 300 bottles, made by hand and numbered them. So
they're beautiful.
Thank you. Use the name of Dementia because he's resistant.
Thank you. That's great. And you can, you know, the label is beautiful, but you need to see it from up close to, I think, to appreciate it. Cool. So We'll move on to the next wine, unless anybody's got any questions so far. And, you know, carrying on the theme, because we're tasting some really old vineyards. I mean, just now, you know, 1905, Field Blend, red, white. We're carrying on with Tinta Fina, which is a Tempranillo, you know, type of Tempranillo from Ribera del Duero. We're in 2014, and we have a 100-year-old vineyard. So, Victor Negro Gonzalez, over to you. I think you have the microphone there. Perfect. Thank you very much.
Hello. Well, I am Victor Negro. I am a little vineyard owner of Ribera del Duero. We are in Place 8 and a little river, Riaza Valley, a more differential place of the other Ribera del Duero. The project has a special philosophy, easy but more important, that is a respect. Respect for my family, respect for the family. The project only works the family, my father, my mother, my brother, and myself. And the other part is a respect for the history. In the Ribera del Duero, left the old vines because the production is really low. And we... recuperate these old vines, and we make a selection the better plant and make a new plant, and with this new project to make a Cairo. And the third part is the philosophy respect to the natural. We start to work toward accreditation with ecologic. Some years later, evolutionates to the biodynamic. And now we make a practice for the regeneration farm. I think that is more important, the third part, because we work with the cultive and fermentation of the microorganisms. I think that the important in this time that we live in the special contamination of the atmosphere, the microorganisms take the extracts of the CO2 of the atmosphere and take underground and change to the vegetal material. And with this, the plant eat and work and take the aliment and more equilibrates in the time. I think that make that this equilibrate give more virtue, more quality, more expression of terroir, and for this reason we work with a different preparates like Bokashi or Hadam, then recuperate the material organic at the process of the elaboration of the vines of the cellar. The third part and fourth part, I think that is the more important, is the time. I think the natural make the process during more time, and if we respect this time, the process of the wines is better, the quality is better, the harmony, the elegance, and this thing of this philosophy of respect, I think that gives us special and original wines. I present for the test of top wine is Dharma. In the world of the biodynamic, for me, is more important the energies. For example, Masaru Emoto, the scientific, Japanese scientific, present the message of the water that in this experiment tell that the water give the liquid give energy. And make one experiment, take contaminated water, natural water, and put in the fridge. And see that in the natural, the water crystallization in a hexagonal form. With this water, make the second part of the experiment, one part with a positive verb and the other part with a negative verb. And see that in the same water, change the comportment, and in the natural, and with the good words, conserve the hexagonal form, and with the mad energy, the hexagonal for loose. And for this reason, in the cork, we put the word happy in Japanese for with when you work with a good energy, with a heart, you transmit a good energy to the vines, to the wines. And for the Masaremoto experiment, demonstrate that if you give a good energy, you give a good energy for the people that drink the wines. And Dharma, in this spirit philosophy to the energy, the meaning is the part of the body or the soul of the people have two parts. It's ego and Dharma. For like a sample, a Star Wars film, no, this ego is a dark side of the Force, this Darth Vader, and the other part is a Jedi. No, it's a happy, it's a love, this good energy. And if you give good energy the wines, you give energy positive. Okay, and the logo of this is a lotus flower. It's a special flower of the philosophy Japanese, and it's important that the bath of the natural grow up of the water and give probably the wonderful or better, or pretty flower of the world. The similitude is that all vines abandoned in the Ribera del Duero we recuperate, and make, I think that I hope the better and pretty wine of the world. I hope that enjoy and like this special wine.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I mean, look, I'm aware that you know you probably have tons of more wines to taste, but we're happy to take questions, of course. If there's any questions to anyone in particular or about you know, the region, Castilla y León, or micro regions, I don't know. Anyone, any questions? Let's go and drink. Yeah, so look, thank you so much. You know, I love the diversity. I think this really showcases the different styles that are coming out of the vineyards, the region, but also I think it's really incredible to have so many old vines that are being, you know, I guess, given over to really careful vignerons and farmers. And that these old vines are, you know, thriving and producing these extraordinary wines because, you know, we have this is amazing heritage, and I think sometimes it's easy to be, you know, flippant about them and just grub them, get rid of them. But I think Castilla y León has so many wonderful old vines, but also incredible terroirs and diversity, and I think these six wines really showcase that. So thank you so much for coming. Thank you for showing us your wines. Thank you, everyone.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. Since 2009, HRN podcasts have been exploring the wide world of food, beverage, and agriculture. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat & 3 is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah. And my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.